Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think all my friends could have a go on you, but I...
Have a go on me! I'm not a fucking merry-go-round, you know.
Really?
Well.
Really? Well. But no, I mean, you're not any of their type. They all go, like, Miriam goes to musician.
What, is that, like, funny, sexy, no. Really good bed? Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 11... I don't know why I keep singing these crap intros. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Madeley.
And we had a little break from COVID quarantine.
Yes, we did.
But we're back. We're back now this week. We're back because we want to bring some more stories, some more entertainment, help you with your relationship goals, help you understand that all couples are normal and going through the same stuff. You've had a lovely little week in London away from your husband.
Yes, it's been great.
Playing up.
Yep.
You said there were three men coming on to you in the gym today.
No, three old men. Oh my God, they were so cute. The floor was wet. He was like shouting up the stairs. He was like, Tim, the floor's wet. And then he looked at me and he was like really worried about Tim. I was like, I'll go get
Tim.
Went upstairs. Tim's there, like waiting for his other mate. We'll just call him Alan, holding the door open. I was like, are you Tim? He's like, yes. I was like, the floor's wet. He was like, oh, thanks, Bob.
Oh no.
It was so cute. I texted James and he was like, I just met the cutest men in the gym. And he was like, stop hanging out with men at the gym. I was like, they were about 80.
Flirt, little haul bag. But we've had some great responses to the last few shows, very excitingly. We apologise again that we decided to take a week, but every 10 episodes, we're going to have a little bit of a break because the first series is going to be 20 episodes. And if we come back for more, we're hoping for some sponsors.
Anyway, so no, it was also good because you've been promoting your book and I've started my new business. So.
What a flanker.
Yeah.
It's out now. It was a Times bestseller.
Yes, we are drinking, by the way.
It was a Times bestseller last week, number 8. And do you know what's happened this week? It's only got bloody number 7 as a Times bestseller on Sunday.
Good boy. Well,
audiobook's going well. So if you like this level of chat, but more about my rugby career and stories and like funny stuff.
Get the audiobook because he makes more money off of royalties from the audiobook. Well, I think so. Is that true?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to go there, but now you said it.
It's true. And I found that out, I was really like, really jealous that all my books are like health and fitness guides. So I can't really get away with doing an audiobook. I was like, damn it.
My publisher was like, yeah, you need to push the hardbacks. I was like, yeah, I'll push the hardbacks. Boop. Audiobook. Yeah. Right. So what we got this week?
Well, I thought we would start with a story. That's a lot of S's in one sentence. Start with a story. That is absolutely fucking brilliant. And this guy's called Rhys. Is that how you say it? The Welsh, obviously.
Rhys, yeah.
Yeah, Rhys Davies.
I can't do the
Welsh accent. I love that I'm presuming he's not. I mean, there's no way in hell he's not Welsh with that name.
No, Rhys Davies.
100%.
So doing the accent.
Yeah. Right. So I'll get James through it, but honestly, it's had me howling.
Okay.
You're very articulate and funny, Rhys.
We actually weren't. Oh, no, we're not supposed to name people.
No, but his is a story.
Oh, right.
You'll understand why we've named him when we read it.
Normally, but this is genius. Okay. All right, James and Chloe. Absolutely love the podcast. My partner and I discovered it last week and have been binge listening ever since. After listening to the most recent episode, my partner encouraged me to tell the story of my worst catfish experience during my single days. It's a story I told her when we were dating that left her in absolute disbelief. It all began on a bitterly cold November night. Sorry.
Bitterly?
I keep going into West Country, all right? Everything okay?
You always do.
Cold November night in Bristol. I don't know what I'm doing. I'll do it in normal. I was around 20, 21 years old, and I've been speaking to this girl on Tinder, and we were getting on like a house on fire. We finally decided to meet up and for our first official date. I was incredibly nervous as she seemed really great, and I just didn't want it to go wrong. We met up by the waterside, said hello, and it was blowing a bone-chilling gale. We drove straight into the nearest pub. She went and grabbed us a booth near a radiator. What would you like? I called back. Cranberry juice, please. That's a fucking warning sign right there. She replied. I ordered the beverages, a ginger beer for me, and cranberry juice for her. Fucking hell.
PG.
Absolutely PG. Crack city around your place.
We literally can't even record a podcast without having a drink.
speak for yourself. Juice fair. It was a Tuesday, and I was driving, so I thought nothing of ordering two soft drinks. Explain it. Details. I returned to the booth, and she'd taken the bench seat of the booth facing me. She'd taken off her massive poofy coat, and I could finally see what she looked like. She was incredibly cute and pretty. I got excited to how the skate was going to go. Phew. And then we talked and talked and talked. We laughed a lot. The minutes turned to hours, and I thought, she's amazing. What could go wrong? And suddenly nature called me. I was busting for the toilet, so I excused myself and do my number ones. Good thing you detailed. No, can't take a dump on a date. When I returned, she asked if I didn't mind watching her bag. She shimmied round and stood up, and I saw it. What could possibly go wrong? A bump. A baby bump. A large baby bump. One or two things happened here. Either I'd fucked her so well and come so hard in the future that it had ripped through the fabric of the space-time continuum and made all timeline versions of her since she met me pregnant. Great sci-fi knowledge there. Or she's up the duff with another man's kid.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I managed to muster out, completely stunned. Oh, this! She said innocently. Sorry, I forgot to mention. My mate man's pregnant. And off she went to the toilet. I sat there at a loss of what to do, disappointed at this revelation when everything was going so well. She returns and ding, 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 time at the bar. Quite literally, saved by the bell. So we walk out, we say the usual end of date bits and pieces. Anyway, I best dash and the bus will be here in 2 minutes, she says. Turned out she lived in not a great area of Bristol, and it being 11 p.m. at night in winter, I couldn't in all good consciousness let her go home on her own as a heavily pregnant woman. So I offered her a lift. As she was talking to me, all I was thinking was, please don't have the baby in here. I hate having to explain why I've got placenta stain.
By default, it's your kid.
So I offered her a lift and she was talking to me and all I was thinking, please don't have the baby in here. I'd hate to explain why I've got placenta stains in my dad's Ford Focus. And that was the worst catfish experience. All the best to you both and keep the great stuff coming.
Very good.
As if she thought she was going to get away with it.
Future me had fucked her so well and come so hard that
it tore through the space-time continuum.
Every future
path of her life was with me with a baby.
I mean, lad.
There's not really much advice I can give you there. I mean, I'm interested in what the woman thought.
Well, okay, let's just take... Okay, great story. What would you do if that was you?
I mean...
Let's just say, hypothetically, this girl was like the fit, like Margot Robbie fit, right? And the coolest girl, like, okay, we've got a friend called Orla and James loves her. And he's like, she's the fucking coolest girl in the world. Like, all girls should be like her. Orla personally.
Go to her head, yeah, but not, yeah.
No, I told her the other day and she was like, I'm so flattered. Orla personality, Margot Robbie, everything,
yeah.
Baby bump.
Mm-hmm.
But you are vibing, the chemistry is there. Yeah. What do you do?
Looks like I'm going to be a dad.
I don't think it would scare you off. The only thing I think it might scare you off is because I think your parents would have a thing or two to say about it. And that might be the one chink in the armour.
I mean, ordinarily, because you know me right, I would say my parents have a thing to say. But I think they've got a thing to say about everything I do, including this fucking podcast. So I really think with that, the expression horse and bolted comes to mind in that respect. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because I would have to be like... Where's the dad in this set up, you know? Also, if the dad was bigger than me, like bigger, more aggressive, more tattooed, that'd be quite... But if I was like the king of the castle, it'd be fine.
I mean, if I was on a date with a guy and it was like a 10
he was
out
pregnant,
of 10,
I'd fucking marry that guy because he's going to make you a lot of money.
Are you a seahorse? And he said to me, I've got a newborn at home. Me and my missus aren't together. The only thing that would make me wary is that it obviously would be very fresh. Kind of thing,
yeah.
Like, and I think people who do have children together are more inclined to make it work, so that would be the only thing that's in the way. But I wouldn't care at all if that's the trajectory that his life happened to take just when I met him.
I mean, I would also probably have said, potentially, you know, if it was like a story to it, like he was like a hero and like there was like a backstory, he was like, yeah, special forces, and he died and he's left me with this and I need, you know, need someone to look after me.
Of course you'd want a special forces baby, and so it could have all the amazing genetics.
Yeah.
And you could like...
But like, oh God, it's like LeBron James's kid. I'd be like, I'm going to actually adopt that. LeBron came over and then he left her.
Okay, right.
Congratulations to the LA Lakers, by the way. Not they're going to watch this.
This one's an actual
We did actually... Wait, on the topic of catfishing, what's your thing or take on filters on photos? And for people, because you know,
ask you. Don't think I haven't been watching your stories this week. James has got a weird shade of blurry orange in all of his stories, and I keep texting him like, why are you using a filter? What are you doing?
I quite like it, and I know you're watching it. It's pissing you off. It's like passive aggressive. No, but we talked about couple women wearing too much makeup and men not having the ability to, you know, you can't, this is the best you're going to get, right? You can trim your lid and, you know, get, you know, insert your hair potentially, but...
Tread.
But what's about this thing on social media now with all the photos altered? Like, yeah. Where the rest of the photo's fine, but the boat has been face-tuned to an inch of its life. Boat race face, by the way, for those people who don't speak... Cockney, I'm not a Cockney. I'm a bit surprised. Is that legal? Is that a go? Because I think there's a lot of people filtering themselves, and you meet them in public, and you're like, I don't recognise you.
Yeah, I think 99.9% of women, myself included, my friends as well, will put a nice filter on a photo before uploading it, simply because it's kind of like adding another layer of makeup. So it's like you're already trying to look pretty when you're wearing a full face of makeup, but at this point it's 2 a.m. and you've been drinking since 10 p.m. I'll just put a filter on it, and that's completely fine. But you'll also notice that for me, especially given what I do, which is work in the physique industry, it's also really important that I show people what I look like head to toe, like all the time.
Yeah.
So I'll put up photos when I'm not in shape. I'm like, right now I am like bigger than I've been in a while, and that's completely fine. I'm in the gym, I'm lifting really heavy, like I'm building muscle, I'm in a good place. But I also will put up photos of me looking like that, or me with cellulite, to show people that just because, you know, you can look amazing sometimes, it's completely unrealistic to think that everybody looks amazing all the time. And that's what social media is doing. It's trying to convince people that everybody looks fantastic 24/7, and they fucking don't. So I think it's totally fine, as long as you also show the other side of it. And like the other day, I put up a photo of me that was like a test shot of a photo shoot of the computer screen when the photo had been taken. And I was like, I always love the pre-airbrush shots, because obviously I work to have like some muscle curve.
Yeah.
Because they don't airbrush you to look skinnier. And somebody put under it, now you've just exposed yourself, now the whole world knows that you airbrush all your photos, how are we ever meant to buy anything you're selling again? And
oh,
I responded,
fuck off.
And I was like, A, you've completely missed the point of the photo and the post. B, I mean, shockingly, I actually am not in charge of all my shoots. There is such a thing as editorial, like creative license that I don't have control over. And now what I've done is I've just started putting up behind the scenes videos of me at shoot, so people can see what I really fucking look like
yeah.
in that shoot.
Yeah, but they polish you down instead of...
They make me softer.
I fucking hate
they
that.
They take my like...
Because apparently you're too inaccessible.
But yeah, anyway, so look, yes, I agree with you.
Women's health, like, put me on the cover. I love an avocado pizza and my roast dinner's my best life. Do you want somebody who's really trained in great shape? No. Okay. I want to look like the Special K lady in a bikini, because that's what's really easy for every woman.
Oh, right, look, don't go too far the other way with judging women. Anyway, look, all I'm saying is that I think it's completely fine and completely normal. It's just like getting your hair and makeup done before a night out. But I will say that you have to show the other side of it. Otherwise, you are doing
yeah,
other
but I,
women.
I just, I'd be interested to see the listeners. How many times, lads, this is particular, because men can't really do it. I mean, there's that guy, George Alvarez, I can't say that now, whatever his name, Jessica Alvarez now, the one who, the Ken doll, Ken Alvarez, who changed into
I don't know
Alvarez,
who you're talking about.
Like, the one who's like had so much work.
I just generally don't read
you
stories.
Could, like, men, could, you could probably go to those extremes. I wouldn't advise it. But there is... I just think I'm interested to see what men who are single men who listen to this, if you do, how you find it going on dates, because there's loads of pictures on Tinder. My friends show me and they're like, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, there's, you can see her face does not look like that in any way, shape or form. And then when you meet them, you just must be like, are you... Hello, McFly.
Well, you see photos. Hello, McFly. Yeah. Anybody home? Think, McFly. Yeah. Think. You've seen photos of me on Instagram that are clearly airbrushed. I mean, 100%. Well, not even really airbrushed, but filtered. But also photos of me after shoots that have been airbrushed, where all of me looks
yeah,
softer,
Chloe,
my body and my face.
This is, no,
but
is,
then you see
is.
Me like now in real life. Is it jarring, or are you like?
No. You're putting a little bit of a face tune to take some blemishes out is one thing. These people have rebuilt their faces. Like, it's quite ridiculous.
There is one filter. It's crazy. Like, I hold it up in front of myself, and the second that I click it, and I never do it because it's so obvious that it's embarrassing. Like, you know, when it's that obvious that you've put a filter on, it's just like way too much. Like, it's like my pride is like hurt that anyone would think that I thought I could get away with that. And I click it, my whole face changes. Like, my hairline comes down, my nose goes in, it tips up at the bottom, my lips fill out, and my eyes go bigger and more cat-like swooped at the side. My cheekbones come up, and it's like I've literally woken up and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I look like I've been in hair and makeup for 3 or 4 hours. And I'm like, how the fuck are these people doing it?
Yeah, but what I don't get is, like...
And I showed you what you can do on Facetune. You can change the shape of your body. There's a lot of girls on Instagram right now who are my competition in the health and fitness world, which is fucking cool because they don't know anything about anything. And they're editing their bodies to be like the perfect shape and then selling health and fitness plans. I'm like, one, you're not qualified. Two, you don't look like that. And I'm not saying I look in shape all the time, but I am qualified. They talk about how I don't look in shape all the time and why.
I'm just intrigued because you showed me the other day, won't mention her name. But this person is like walking around like bam, tsh, down and down, tsh, and I was like, oh look, you know, she's obviously all right. And you went, look at the pack photos versus the real life photos, and one of them looked like a burst beanbag, and the other one looked like supermodel, and it's like mad how you think they get away with it. So I'm interested in all the people who go on dates who must just go. There's not an unbelievable catfish. It's not like, you know, you turn up and the person's 2 foot high or. You know, or they're like completely different person. I'm talking about the ones where you think you know what you're getting into and you sit back down and you're like, oh God, you've literally built your body on your iPhone.
It must be cool to go on a date with a girl nowadays and sit down and be like, oh, you're actually more attractive in the flesh.
Yes, that
would. That happens to women all the time. So like a lot of men obviously don't do hair and makeup, don't know how to pose for a photo, don't know when they look good in a photo. So they never really, so like you go to show your friends a guy you're dating or sleeping with and you're like, oh, there's no good photos of him. And they're like, okay. But then like when they meet him in real life, they're like, oh, he's really hot. And like that
happened
always...
with me and your friends, isn't it?
I think all my friends would have a go on you, but I
have a go on me. I'm not a fucking merry-go-round, you know.
Really?
Well,
really? But no, I mean, you're not any of their type. They all go like Miriam goes for musicians.
What, I don't like funny, sexy, no, really good bed.
Miriam
people.
Goes for musicians. Hannah goes for pretty boys. Julia goes for pretty boys. You don't fall into any of these categories.
What, musician, pretty boy?
No, you fall into like gladiator. Look, you're fit as fuck. Calm down. You're of a type. As am I. Do you know how many of my male friends are like, ooh, you look jacked.
I'm
like,
oh, God, I wish people piss off about that.
I wore a tank top the other day and my friend looked at me and he was like, oh, you look jacked. And I was like, is that a bad thing? I'm in a muscle building phase. Oh, that's a compliment. God. He was like, you're getting too big. And
oh,
I was like,
there's no such thing as too anything. Stop telling people. If you want to be, no, there's no such thing as too fat and it's too small. It's whatever you are comfortable with.
Yeah, this is what I said to him though. I was like, it's an illusion. Like, as soon as I get lean again, I'll shrink down. Like, it's yeah. But people don't know what they're looking at. Anyway,
we're pussy and crack on the way. Right,
I've had
next?
Half a glass of wine and I'm like, whoop.
Yeah, that's why it's the only glass of wine sitting because I've got a big dinner for you.
I know, I feel like we shouldn't drink on the podcast.
Actually, just so we're talking about the advice-wise, I took my own advice and I have cooked you dinner from scratch, DJ Barbecue. We won't be listening to this, but great book called Fire Food. We've got chicken with Alabama white sauce, macaroni and cheese, all cooked up, ready for your delectation. Yeah, delectation, I think that's the word.
Okay. Hi guys, love the show. I've recently bought and renovated a house with my girlfriend and we finally moved in after 2 months of knocking it about. We've been together for 3.5 years and I want to get engaged to her. Obviously, I want to keep it a secret. We're going on holiday next year skiing, which will hopefully still go ahead. And I figured that's a pretty solid location to drop to the knee. Oh, I've got a story about that. There's a few things I've got no clue about though, and I wanted to know your thoughts and opinions. One, how do you ask the old man for permission when he's 4 hours away from us? I've always thought a pint and a chat would do it well, but that never happens because we barely ever see him. Two, well, okay, should we just start with one?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, and then I want you to, you can talk about this because you've done this. It doesn't matter if he's 4 hours from you. You say that you're going skiing next year. So you've got like the whole rest of this year, and I presume you're probably going to see them around Christmas time. So just sit down with him around Christmas time, maybe go for like a walk with him or just drop him a text before you get there and say like, find an excuse because I'd like to talk to you privately about something. And then ask him. And I think it's really important that you do. And I think it'll mean a lot to both of them, her and him, if you do. James.
So I would, 4 hours is no excuse, sir. I had a mate of mine called Garth Chamberlain, who actually, I talk about him, what a flanker, but he listens to the pod as well, I think. He went on some epic adventure, like... He basically sent his wife on a fake modelling job to a country, went over to meet her parents, got permission, flew back over just in time to meet her. He put it all on the internet. It's like some epic journey. When she got to this event, didn't know what was going on, got handed an iPad. It showed all the memories of their last time. And then he came out and met her and got her down on one knee. And he showed all, it was all the journey from him getting to trying to get from one place to another. So 4 hours is nothing, mate. If I were you, I would pick up the phone to him or send him an email, or even better, send him a letter. A nice little handwritten letter would go down a drain, because it's something that parents keep. Unless you get divorced, then they burn it, but they'll probably burn you as well. And you write to him and say, listen, I'd love to take you for dinner, if that's okay, just one-on-one. I've got a few things to
do. But you don't need to do dinner. I mean, let's face it, it's still an in-law. You don't need to do dinner. You know, well, just go for a pint. I like the pint.
Fine, pint or dinner. Yeah, fine. But I mean, pint.
You didn't go for dinner.
No, but you're going 2 hours, so he's going to be hungry. You're always thinking of the food, you know. I'm thinking about the food. But I went there 2 hours. I'm like, I went to meet your dad in London.
I need a chowder.
Savoy Grill. I was like, after that, I need a chowder. So I would go and meet him.
You're at the Savoy Grill. You're at the American bar.
At the Savoy.
Yeah.
Fine.
two completely different areas of the hotel. Sorry.
And then I would basically then go and say, you know, can we go meet for food, sit down, and just sit and hit him with him. It's just, you know, a few drinks. I'd you know, chat about a few things, and then just after main, hit him with the, you know, I'd like to take.
What did you say to my dad?
Basically said, I really love Chloe. I think she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. She's so special. She makes me laugh.
Love by making you do this on the podcast.
She laughs at my jokes. And it would, you know, be the greatest honour of my life if you'd let me marry her, if that's okay. Aww. And he went, yeah.
Oh.
And he went, fucking about time.
Oh, as
just if. Just need to get rid of the old deer, and then I'm back on a cruise around the world. And that was it. And then he high five, smashed a couple of old fashions, and rolled out.
Dickie's such a lad. I made him dinner the other night, and he was so grateful. Because my mum went on cooking strike like 2 decades
ago. Yeah, your dad's always cooking.
Always cooked. So I cooked him dinner, and he was like, thank you.
Thank you. So okay. I'll do that. It's the first one. So yeah, I would reach out, go down and meet him for a drink, or ideally for dinner, pub lunch, use the good pub guide, find a little spot.
Yeah, you'll have time between now and Christmas, and yeah, let him know that you want to have
a 4 hours ain't a long way, and also it's fucking worth it for things. Steve can get a nice little thing, like a little B&B or something.
You'll definitely see them by around Christmas time.
Well, he says they don't see him that often.
Yeah, but Christmas.
All right.
Come on.
Right.
Scrooge. But I would also give him a heads up to say that you want to talk privately, so that otherwise it might look a bit bait coming from you.
Yeah.
Okay. 2, how the hell do you go about deciding on a ring and the size of a ring? Okay. So there's 2 answers to this. 1, you basically say to her, do you want to show me what kind of ring you'd be thinking about? Which the girl who is obsessed with the ring will love, because it means she basically gets to pick her own ring. I would have killed James if he'd done that, because it would have completely ruined the surprise. And I think you only get surprises like this in life 1 or 2 times, when you get proposed to, when you find out you're pregnant, when you find out the sex of the baby. There's a handful of times you get really meaningful surprises like that. And I would have killed him if he'd have told me. And also, if she's a good girl, which I really hope she is, because you sound amazing. She won't care about the size of it. She'll more care about the style of it. So, like, I'm very lucky. James got me a fucking insane ring. But I told him, like, not immediately, because that would have been really rude, but later, like, I almost feel guilty because I never cared about the size of the diamond at all. I only cared that it was my style. So I like Art Deco. So my ring kind of looks like, almost like the Eiffel Tower, which is ironic because we got engaged in Paris. So cliche, but it was so good. It kind of looks like the Eiffel Tower. It's got real shape to it and a real structure to it. And as an Art Deco fan, that's what I love. One of my friends just got a ring that's based on Emily Ratajkowski's ring. Google it and have fun looking at photos of her, FYI. But it's really like weird and like abstract. There's like 1 square diamond and 1 like marquee diamond, and they're off kilter. But a lot of women would find that like weird and not like it, but I personally love it. And then you've just got like the standard traditional diamond with like a halo around it, which is little diamonds around it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's not the size of the ring that matters. It's the style of the ring. And you could actually probably get an idea of the style that she likes by speaking to like her best friend, and her best friend will not tell her, because women do not ruin shit like this for each other. So maybe ask her best mate.
So my approach for this would be, when you're next out shopping, and you know, but give yourself enough time as well. I know you want to do it on a ski trip thing, but you know, getting a ring, getting it right is a palaver in itself, and can be. Obviously, depending on budget, I've got a great guy, Bond Jewelry and Diamonds, who was...
Oh, we'll make it from scratch. That's the whole thing.
We'll custom everything for you, whatever you need, whatever you look at.
But you go online on the website and you can literally build the ring. What is it? Bond
Jewelry and Diamonds.
Right? Yeah, and it's amazing.
And he was brilliant. So
get the Chloe ring.
Yeah, so basically he came and met me, and I basically sat down and said, listen, I know nothing about diamonds. I know nothing about any of this stuff. I don't understand it, you know, cut, clarity, colour, all this, you know... carrot. I just didn't know what was going on. Obviously, what I'd done with Chloe a few times, that when we were out shopping, I would walk past room shops and say, which ones do you like in here? Just absentmindedly to say what she done. She would say, oh, I like Art Deco, I like this. So you start doing it, but you do it over such an extended period that she doesn't think it's going to come around the corner. So then you get an idea. And I basically sat down with Jamie from Bond Jewelry and Diamonds and said, you know, she wants Art Deco, what's the story? And we basically, he made a computer model of it, showed it to me, and it wasn't expensive. All the kind of things, got all the stuff put together, and I said, listen...
What?
She said, and then she said about the ring and how I want it to look or whatever, and then I chose the size of diamond. And obviously with diamonds, you know, you can go bigger. If you cash money, you can go massive, it's not a problem. But you can sometimes go bigger, but there's things called inclusions in it, so it'll be bright, but, you know...
There's a flaw that nobody can see.
Yeah, there's flaws in the diamonds, so you get bigger ones, or you can go smaller but brighter. It's up to you, really, and the way they cut it. There's loads of things to do, but I would 100% get some advice from someone reputable, stay away from mental high street places because they mark up all the diamonds. Find an independent that will sit down with you and help you look at some different designs like I did. I took 6 months to design yours. I went, I don't like that, like this, add this, don't do this.
It was longer than that.
Well, it was a bit longer than
that. You kept changing your mind.
I didn't change my mind. You kept pissing me off, and I was like, right, put it on hold for another month.
James handles disagreements so well.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah. Right, next. How do you hide a ring when you'll probably share a suitcase? Well, first of all, you don't have to share a suitcase, but if you do, you need to put it in something that she is not going to look in. So that would be, and James can talk about how he did it, but a jacket pocket. She's not going to go into your jacket pocket. A toiletry bag. She's not going to go into a toiletry bag. Like, women take care of their toiletries. And maybe just say to her when you're packing it, like, babe, make sure you bring toothbrush and a toothpaste. I've run out. And then she's definitely not going to go into it. So that's the only thing I would go into yours for. Or there is also the option of, if your bag has like a lining inside of it, just like very subtly in like a dark corner where she'll never look, maybe just put the ring in the lining so it sits between the bag and the lining.
Or take it in the carry-on the plane.
So how did you do it? Because this is a funny story, actually.
Well, we went on the Eurostar. So we went on the Eurostar to Pat, and I had it in my man bag.
What's your man bag?
It was a bag that belongs to a man instead of a handbag for a woman. I had my man bag.
Or like porn, prostitution numbers.
Yeah, guns, drugs, everything. It was a very manly bag, it was, flick knife. And so I basically put it in there. But the problem was, when I got the day I was going to ask you to marry me, I had a coat on. It was one of the defected, it wasn't broken, it was from defected clothing.
No, it wasn't.
It was a bomber. It was a blue bag. Bomber.
No, it wasn't. It was the Ralph Lauren bomber that
The same.
It cost a pretty penny.
Sorry, right. I got one that's the same. But so it was the Ralph Lauren one, and I basically put the...
This was one of the most expensive items I ever bought you.
Yeah, you nicked it. You've worn it all the time. I don't even own it anymore. So I don't even own it. So yeah, it's the most expensive item you bought yourself. So basically, I had the ring in my pocket, and I went to go on the into a museum. It's a metal detector. And I was like,
Where were we?
Oh my God.
It was the Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, the Arc de Triomphe, first time, it was a metal detector. Oh my God, it's going to set it off. She's going to see it. But she had no idea. I'd waited so long.
No, do you know why I didn't? I did think when we went to Paris, maybe he'll propose. Like, maybe. But the first night we had dinner at
Café L'Homme.
And you, it like literally like looks out over the Eiffel Tower, and the Eiffel Tower is like sparkling. And I was obviously like, I'd never been to Paris, which is ridiculous because I'm like a Londoner. And I was at the time, how old was I? 30, 29?
Yeah,
and I just like was like crying, and we had the most romantic night. And when we got home that night, I was like, okay, he's not going to propose. And I was fine with it because it was such a beautiful trip already. And it was just night one. I was like, he's not going to propose, because if he was going to do it, he would have done it tonight. And I just, that was it. I just kind of parked. Oh, exciting. Yeah. I just kind of parked it and cracked on. So yeah, I wouldn't have known anything.
I actually always think that maybe I should have done it on that first night, but it was almost quite magical. And you didn't know the second time.
No, I
and so basically, the art trip, I went through the metal detector, and then I went came to another place in metal detector. I was like, ah, and then I thought about going to the Jardin des Tuileries, but it wasn't as green because it was in the winter. But I still got down.
No, it was spring, but it was just pre-spring.
Yeah, and I got down on one knee, and I was like, "Will you marry me?" And you were like, "Hand in your mouth." And I was like, "Is that yes or no?" And you were like crying, and you sort of looked at the ring. You never once looked at it until I put it on.
I didn't look at it till we were in the Louvre, and then we were opposite the Mona Lisa. And then I was like, oh, there's a ring on my finger. I should probably look at it. And I looked at it and I was like, I really did think like, oh, shit. You didn't need to do that. And then I was like, oh, wow.
But then, so basically, yeah, there are ways to meet up. But I would put it in your carry on. I wouldn't let your missus anywhere near it. Keep it in your pocket. I mean, I wouldn't put it in your pocket when you go to the airport, but just keep it on yourself.
I wouldn't put it in your pocket at all.
No, only if you're going to go and do it, I think.
Obviously, what's he going to put it on his ass?
That's a safe place to put it. I would do that.
This is Couples Quarantine. This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi, James and Chloe. I'm binge listening to the pod at the moment and absolutely loving it. Please keep me anonymous. I wanted to ask a question, though. I'm 38, recently divorced, and have finally found the courage to start dating again. I've been seeing this guy for a couple of months now, and I am loving it. As this whole dating game has moved on a fair bit since I was last out there 15 years ago, I really need some advice. How long do you leave it before you have the conversation and giving yourself the boyfriend-girlfriend titles? Or do you just not even do that now? Keep up the good work. Anonymous. So, I personally think that you need to have the conversation at some point, but you need to say, look, I'd quite like to be exclusive. Where are you in that? I don't want you to feel pressured. I don't want us to fuck this up because I'm having a great, great, great time with you. But I would like it if we were exclusive. I'm open to the conversation and hope for the best. And I think seeing each other for 2 months, I mean, I would say personally, I would be happy to have that conversation with somebody after 4 or 5 weeks. So I think that you're definitely in the right area. However, you know, I have friends of mine who would be like, are you fucking mad? Like, wait at least 6 months. And I would be like, get fucked. You're either on the same page or you're not, period. We had that conversation.
Yes, but I think
don't lie. We had that conversation like a month in.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of had to, didn't we?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you had it with me. I didn't really have it with you.
Well, I was going to Austria for 2 months, so I was either going to have as much sex as I could. Or I was going to stay really faithful.
Why can't you just
go
to Austria and have some, you know, have some...
regular sex.
Why not? I mean, why can't you have some cheese and some melted stuff? And
look,
you know,
there were going to be snowboarders there. You know how I feel about...
I didn't know anything about snowboarders.
No, about, like, what's it called? Extreme sport. Oh, God, just even thinking about it. Anyway, and it was either that or you. So I gave you the option. We picked you. What am I
Pick me. And what a complete and utter fuck up that was.
Right, your thoughts.
I mean, look, I think you don't really know someone. So of all four of these people who like get in a relationship early, full head over heels, move in and trying to get married very early on, I'd love to see the stats on whether how often that works or not, because I don't think you really know someone until someone's been ill, someone's had a problem, someone's lost their job, all the things that life throws at you. You know, you can live a very charmed existence and not have any of those problems. I think 2 months in, you know, if you're really enjoying yourself and you're getting a sense, but you should get a sense from your partner. If you're seeing them every time at like 9 at night or 1 a.m, then you're a booty call and you've been seeing them 2 months. If you're actually going on dates, enjoying each other's company, spending a bit of time, then perhaps a conversation over a drink or dinner, go, look, I really like you. I wonder if you want to take it to the next level and maybe a bit more serious or be exclusive. You know, I know I want to and see how it goes. And if they don't understand, they freak out, then perhaps they weren't the right person for you anyway. But again, you've got to be aware of have the self-awareness of the relationship.
But it's a big risk.
If you're just shagging each other and you know, there's no interaction in between.
Now, but even then, it's a big red flag of a human, male or female, if you've been seeing each other for 2 months and you try and have the conversation and they freak out.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's like, you don't want to be with that person anyway. And what I will also say is like, babe, for you, I think this is a win-win situation. Going through a divorce is one of the hardest things that humans have to deal with and go through. And I think that getting back on the wagon and starting to date again is an extremely big hurdle. And I think that, look, you might have, if let's just say worst case scenario, this dude turns around and is like, oh no, I'm definitely not there. Worst case scenario, and you either, you know, carry on banging him or you bounce, either or, you might have a few weeks of being like, oh, what's wrong with me, as we all do, because your pride takes a hit. But ultimately, you've gone through way worse, way bigger disappointments than this, and you got back on the wagon, and you're living your life again, and that is something that you should bloody well celebrate, because that's a hard thing to do. And yeah, I think it's a win-win for you, and I think if you're ready to have the chat, you fucking have the chat.
Miss Chloe Haskell says it how it is. Okay, hi, loving the podcast and your wide range of subjects, banter and obvious love for one another. Lovely. Yeah. It's cold.
I was drinking wine.
One of the things which never hear...
Real love of mine.
One of the things which you never hear much about because the embarrassment of admitting it is premature ejaculation, which I have suffered from on and off for most of my adult life. It often seems a taboo subject and second best to erectile dysfunction. Damn you, erectile dysfunction. Fucking getting number place. Who's won this year's award? Erectile dysfunction again. Second place. Premature. It can have caught many causes. And actual help and information is very limited. I'm very interested in what you both think. Thanks, keep it up. Almost read his name out then. Don't do that. So, when I was younger, I didn't have premature ejaculation in terms of like Forrest Gump style, where like, girl touched my knee and I went off. Didn't happen like that. But in the act of sex early days, I was a bit fired up and it used to go off a little bit quickly.
It was really normal.
I had a mate as well who listens to this. At some point, he had a similar problem, but it was a bit more intense than me. We used to get this like Chinese numbing stuff. He used to paint on the end of the top of your willy before sex and it would just numb it and you'd be fine. It'd last lay longer. Then Durex brought out the Durex Performer condom.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's got a bit of numbing stuff on it, so just
my toes.
Yeah, it's got a bit of numbing stuff. So, but that's obviously a very mild form, and I imagine just a lot happens to teenage boys, just getting a bit, you know.
I think it's really, really, really common, and I think there's a million and one ways that you can deal with it, and obviously going to a sex therapist. Actually, we're going to get my best friend who is a sex therapist. Shock.
James Haskell.
No. Not shocked. we're going to get her on the podcast to talk about things like this. So I promise that we will revisit this at a later date because we are not qualified professionals in any fucking way, shape or form. Hence why we're drinking on the podcast.
But I do think that... So
there are things you can do, as James says, things that you can do to desensitize the area, like condoms or apparently numbing cream, although I would definitely make sure that you look into that on a medical standpoint before you put it on your penis. And there are other things you can do, like maybe pleasuring yourself before the event might help.
Never go out with a loaded gun.
Yeah, like maybe several times if you need to. In terms of, I'm sure that there is like cognitive behavioral therapies that you can implement. So things that you can do during the whole act of, I mean, all kind of sexual arousal that will help you keep a lid on it. No pun intended. But I would say, yeah, like think about maybe clearing that problem out in a weird way before. Think about like again aesthetic or kind of medicinal things that you can do that might slow things down, and think about cognitive behavioral therapies, ways you can talk yourself out of getting too aroused too quickly. But we are not professionals and we do need to get my best friend on the podcast.
I will say one thing as well, depending on the severity of it, foreplay is a great opportunity to avoid that. But what I mean, it's not getting piped off. As if you're going down on a girl, you know, kissing, kissing all over her body, playing with her breasts, doing all that kind of stuff, going down on her, letting her have a mega time. And then mentally, the pressure's kind of off you a little bit. And if things go off, and you know, I think you can spin it as well and say, look, you know, as long as they've had a good time and you're honest and say, look, you know, I'm really excited, I'm really fancy, I might come quite quickly, but it's a compliment to you. And then it happens, that's fine. I think where people have disappointments, if you feel like your partner's not getting any satisfaction. So I think if you were to not went out before you did a job, and I think if you were to focus on the foreplay, focus on your partner, be a really selfless lover in that respect, and then, you know, once the pressure's off, you might feel a bit relaxed. And also, alternate, you know, if you're having sex with someone and you feel like you can just pull out, go down on them, calm yourself down, even go back in again, or you know, and those are some techers that, you know, patented techers.
They reek of James.
They reek of a professional James Haskell job.
I actually think that's really good advice, and I'll tell you why from a female standpoint.
You've been blown away by the advice last couple of pods, haven't you?
Oh, and my friend's like, James gives the best advice. And I'm like, James is full of shit because he doesn't take his own advice. Although tonight you have. But generally speaking, do you guys understand like how painful it is where like we're on the podcast, he's giving people like really wise, thoughtful, emotionally intelligent advice. And then behind closed doors, like my lights aren't on and he punches my dashboard. I'm like, we need to relax now. We need to take some of your own advice.
Well, turn his fucking lights on and we'll have a problem.
They were just on the wrong setting. Anyway.
Dark setting.
We digress. Fog lights.
Off lights.
Dark setting.
Dark lights.
Darkness. I actually think that's really good advice, and I'll tell you why that's really bloody good advice. Because most women, most of us, either cannot or have never come from penetrative sex, which what that does is it opens up the door to us basically presuming that most guys we're having sex with are not going to make us come from penetrative sex, which kind of lets a lot of you off the hook. So if you can find a way to stimulate her orally or manually...
Or if you're skillful, both at the same time.
Which I'm not going to lie, it's easier to do because let's face it, it's just stimulation. You know, watch.
I think
stuff.
There's a lot of blokes out there doing a pretty bad job on it. There, you make it sound like it's simple.
Well, no. Think about it like this, guys. Think of the female anatomy, and then think penetration. That's the thing that a lot of men can't, and a lot of women, so a lot of men don't have the skill to make us come from penetrative sex, which is fine, it's normal. And a lot of women, like physiologically, find it almost impossible, if not entirely impossible, to come from penetrative sex. And then think of this word, stimulation. And then I'll let you take it from there. And also, just before you interrupt me, being patient and taking your time with it, because it's like you guys, like it doesn't just like happen. But wait, hang on, let me just finish this. So if you can make her orgasm like that, she probably won't mind if you prematurely ejaculate after. Because if you prematurely ejaculate after that, she'll probably be quite relieved that it's done. She got hers, you got yours, and it's over. Actually, women really don't like it when they come, and then it goes on and on and on and on. And it's uncomfortable.
Sorry about that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's also three other little tips for you. Breathing, controlling your breathing. So if you're in the act, you get excited, you know, you can tense up. Don't tense up your balls either, because that's where they sit when you're gonna come. And you know, and also if you squeeze the bottom of your penis quite hard and calm down, it can stop you. There's loads of little things. There's books and bits and pieces to help you. I don't know why I know. I'm the king of.
Yeah, you know, because you did, like, when you were single, you just decided that you were going to become Ron Jeremy.
A sex expert.
And you like literally did soap one. You never became a sex expert.
Well, I think I probably did.
But you certainly tried to.
Professor Shag. But I think those are little bits and pieces. And but also, again, women out there, this is a message for you. You know, a lot, like, just as men fuck up a load of things for you and make the problems worse, women, on the other hand, you know, you can make or break someone. One of the key aspects of a lot of mental health, life and everything else, is an interaction you take for granted with someone could define how that person acts the rest of their time.
Yeah.
And even the most flippant comment. So, you know, if someone doesn't get it up and you going, problem, and you being tense and upset can fucking make it 10 times worse. If a guy comes really quickly and you go, what, was that it? I made a thing. You're gonna cause a lot of problems with that. So I think you've got a role to play to
and
understand.
And that applies to men as well.
I agree.
I've had men say stuff to me in the bedroom where I'm like, and that to them it's nothing. Like how a woman would be like, oh my God, you came. Oh fuck, I'm really disappointed. Yeah. It's like, okay, like, don't do that, obviously. But sometimes sometimes you even have to hear it come out your mouth to be like, oh, fuck. Like, I've said that to a guy before and then been like, oh, God, what have I done? What have I done? But also, like, the same thing, like, applies. Like, I think a lot of men will sometimes say things about a woman or her body or something, and then that can have a lasting effect.
Yeah, and if you don't understand exactly what we're saying, everyone had parents, right? Imagine when you were younger and your whole life stopped and started with your parents. You want some affection. Your parents said something to you. Like, you can't do that, you can't do this, never does that. And that sticks stuck with you for the whole time. That carries on in every single area of your life. So every time you meet someone, have an interaction with someone, or deal with someone over a problem, you define that, it could potentially define how that person carries on. That's why we're all fucked up and got issues. It starts with our parents and it carries on through our lives. So do...
Again, you need to take your own...
Professor. Just, yeah. So I think, girls, you've got a role to play. But, mate, also... If you've got a good setup, be front up and say, listen, I've got a bit of a hair trigger on the old piece. You know, let me take care of business and I might go off a bit quickly, but it's not a problem. But Chloe's also got a point. If it's real bad, you can do therapy, you can read some books, try the squeezing, try the breathing.
Yeah, there's both physiological and psychological tricks to this. And again, we are not professionals. We will get one on, though, and she can talk about this because this is...
I'm nearly a professional.
What, a professional is Miriam?
No, not a professional is Miriam, yeah. Okay.
Dr. Miriam.
So, go on, next one.
Ugh, I'm obsessed with my friends. Okay, good afternoon. Posh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hope you're both well. Oh, this person is so brilliant. Yeah, well. My partner and I have been together for 5 years now and are engaged. The first 2 years of our relationship, we had a long distance relationship, but now we live together. Since moving in together 3 years ago, we rarely have sex. At the very most, once a week, and at the least, once a month. It's not actually that bad, but anyway. Sex is great for both of us when we have it. We are both attentive to each other's needs. Congratulations. We thought it was attraction, but as it turns out, we are definitely still attracted to each other. We've started doing more things together, like going to the gym, etc. We want to have more sex, but honestly, we just don't know how. We barely flirt with each other at all to initiate it. It's almost like we've forgotten how to do this. Do you have any advice? Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So this is like applies to so many couples, including James and I, who have been together for a long period of time and who are... It's so funny because I think in your head, like, you think about long-term relationships and couples that have less sex and you think, oh, they're bored. Oh, they're not attracted to each other anymore. Oh, there's someone else. Like, whatever it is. But actually, it's very possible to be in a long-term relationship, still be in love, still be attracted to each other, still have great sex, but actually find that you have less sex. It's very normal because that novelty factor of having sex with this person has died out. So there's that. And it's very normal because living with somebody in a very practical day-to-day life, it isn't romantic and it isn't sexy. It's just not. And you do have to work to keep the spark. You are completely and utterly in the safety zone, my friend. Having sex once a month to once a week is actually like pretty good for a long-term relationship. Obviously, that's subjective. I would want it more than that. And I'm guessing from your email that you do too. But by and large, it's actually pretty good. You say that you love having sex with each other. You're both really attentive to each other's needs, that you're still really attracted to each other. It's just the day-to-day minutiae has gotten in the way. So for you, I would say start to force a sexy environment. So like once every now and again, and obviously this is financially dependent. I don't want to presume that this is like easy for everyone to do, but go for dinner. Maybe go stay at a hotel for a night. Maybe just create the house as like a romantic environment. And I know that sounds like cheesy and cliche, but candles, music, dinner, wine, you two.
All the things I laid on this evening.
Yeah, James has done really good today. Just make it like, by the way, I still really fucking fancy you and I'd still really like to have sex with you in terms of your actual actions, like taking her out for dinner, opening the door, you know, like I say, going to a hotel room and, you know, while she's brushing her teeth, maybe go in the bathroom and surprise her, you know, with some sexual activity. Think you just need to create a bit more of a sexual environment outside of your domestic environment, and I guarantee you it will pick back up. And you sound like you're completely and utterly in the safety zone, James.
Yeah, I think it's always a tricky one because. I think sometimes when you're in a long relationship, you become inherently lazy, you expect things to happen. But unfortunately, normal life isn't that sexy. You know, things get in the way. You know, when you start cohabiting, you've got bills, you've got things. There's always friends with a problem. There's always something.
The dishwasher always needs loading and unloading.
Clothing. Like, it's just...
Clothes need hanging.
You know, if you've got kids, it's hard. But I think where that starts is, first of all, is with communication. Is actually flagging, saying, listen, you know, I fucking love shagging you. I really fancy you. I really want to have sex with you. You know, and I'd like us to put some more effort in if you're keen. And, you know, and you know, I think if she, hopefully she'll come around and say, yes, that's what I want to do. I think when we previously had with Emma Sale on, who was brilliant, you can listen to that episode. You know, I think, you know, even if you're not feeling it, just pinging her a little message going, you know, when you're out of the shops, you're away from her going, I was thinking about you earlier, you know, I think about how good your ass looks, think about how good, you know, whatever. Obviously a bit crass men-wise, you know, but that would be my go-to. You know, I think, again, Chloe said, making that those time, those nights, maybe setting aside a night a week, which is your time where the mundane gets put to one side and you are, you know, maybe each one of you chooses a date night. Opposite thing, and it could be saying something, you know, staying at home. You could go, look, if you want to explore some fruiter aspects, you could say, oh, look, we're gonna start watching porn together, you know, we want to do this, you know, these various different things, which I think would really kind of help. And, you know, I think reinforcing how much you fancy each other and, you know, around the house, being a bit gropey, you know, obviously not when the in-laws are around or, you know.
Oh, don't know what James says, like, I love it when you're gropey because it's me. But James, sometimes I'll be like cooking him, like he loves prawns, pil-pil. So it's like hot, boiling, spitting oil. And I'm like cooking it. And then he'll come up behind me and fill me up. And I'm like, while I absolutely love this, I hate you for doing it now because I can't respond. And if anything, you're annoying me and you're putting me in a very dangerous situation. So pick your moment. And I always think that you disagree. But I think in bed at night is always a pretty safe sexual.
Well, we talked about it on here before. Unfortunately for me, bedtime, you know, by the end of the day, how hard I train, I know you work very hard in training as well, but I do, it's a different kind
of
training.
What are you talking about?
It's a different kind of training. You know, by the time I associate bed with sleep, and that's a problem. You know, I don't mind going operating in the bed, but I'm more of a, you know, an early evening kind of man. As soon as it's after a big graze and I want to go to sleep, that's me done. So I think, look, there are some things, there's little bits and pieces you can do. Communication, sending an email if you're at work. Just, babe, I can't wait to get home and rip your clothes off. I'd like you to do this. Do you fancy putting this on? Those kind of things might be quite cool as well. And you could say to her, listen, is there anything you fancy me wearing? Do you want me to come in and dress the fireman or something? I don't know, whatever she's into.
So 90s. There's an amazing episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte starts dating that fireman from New Jersey and he's like, no, you don't. Sorry. I'm sure there are loads of women I'm talking about anyway. Oh, sorry. And now my head's gone back to Sex and the City, one of the funniest shows of all time. Anyway, I will just say one thing. Sorry, I've got this guy in my head now and it's like hard.
As long as he's in your head, not anywhere else, that'd be nice.
So, relax. It's a really funny episode. So I will just say to men, it's really good to sexualise your partner and to tell them that you're sexualising them, you know, via email, text, phone call, in real life, whatever. But I will say one thing, like some women don't love it when their partners are like, wear this, be like this. Like, I wouldn't really send her, like, I don't know, I personally wouldn't send her any porn. What I would do is I would flip it.
Don't send them porn, yeah.
Women are different. Everybody's different. But what I would do is I would flip it and I would make it all about her. So, like, do you have a fantasy of, like, something that you're wearing, you know, that would turn you on if I were to do X to you or, like, if I were to do Y for you? And if she's defensive and it's like, well, why? What are you talking about? Be like, I really am, like, having some filthy thoughts about you today and I want to come in and I want to, you know, make you whatever. But let her kind of do that. And then eventually, hopefully, quite quickly, that will bleed into, and what do you want? What do you need? What turns you on? Although, to be honest, I actually don't think... It doesn't sound like you really struggle to turn each other on. It just sounds like you need to create the right environment.
Yeah, and also different, you know, different strokes, different folks, different vibes. You know, one night could be romantic candle night, other night could be a bit more gamey night, you know.
We flip it.
Gamey sounds like hunting, but a bit more like fetishy. Venison. Slapping you with a big chicken breast.
Is chicken game? No,
gamey pheasant or partridge.
Peasant.
Slap a peasant in the face. Oh, I'm getting so turned on. Get back on the slapping.
This sofa, this is going to say, James has finished his beer, I finished my wine, it's gone downhill rapidly. What was I going to say? We do that, we have to flip it.
Yeah.
James and I have completely different ideas of, like, how to like create a sexual environment.
Problem is, all the environments Chloe wants to create, I want to go to sleep.
Yeah, well, that's completely true. All the environments, I'm like, this is a sexy time, this is nice, this is intimate. James is like, I would much rather just like not be here. But for him, I'm like, is this a porn set? Because like that's
and
ridiculous.
It actually turns out it is, and if it was filmed, it would go straight, win the AVNs.
I'm a good wife.
You're a good wife.
But what I will say is that it should be a push-pull, and you should be able to flip it. And so James and I will flip it both in date nights and in terms
but also,
of sex.
I think sometimes it's hard as well with women, and I'm pigeonholing, but you know, men are, on the most part, I find, much visual. More visual. Yep. Women are more emotional. And sometimes it's harder to create an emotional thing. It's easy to visual.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But there is a way to make that visual sexual for the woman.
Yeah, agreed.
So like, I won't go into detail, but I'm sure that you can think of something.
Oh, of course.
Right? Yeah. Where something that he needed that was visual was actually highly arousing to me for a different reason.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think you're right. But also just advice on something you said. Never send a woman porn and go, this is what I'd like to do to you. I met a girl, I think one of our circle friends who I think was single, and she said, yeah, I was seeing this guy and he like sent me this video of him banging another bird going, this is what I was going to do. I can't remember who the fuck it was. I can't remember. I was trying to think. And I'm thinking, this bloke's gone. This, she'll love this. This is what I'm going to do to you.
No, that's
like,
voyeurism.
No,
that's a whole niche in and of itself, which I'm not against.
No, he wasn't. It was like me having sex with you, me breaking up with you, and then me going to another girl going, I really want to have sex with you and want to do this, and then showing you a video of you.
Yeah, so that's voyeurism masquerading as I want to do this with you.
Oh, right.
And he got a kick out of showing somebody having sex.
Well, I don't know.
Which I'm not against at all, and I can psychologically completely understand it, but that is really, really risky. Don't do that. Okay.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week on Couples Quarantine. We're back after a little break. If you like this podcast, please share, please subscribe, please tell your friends. It's not to do with rugby, it's not to do with fitness, it's to do with couples, fun, sex, relationships, us not being couple goals, us telling you the bare naked truth. You are writing a column for The Sun at the moment, not The Sun, Fabulous Magazine.
Yes.
Agony on. How do people get hold of you for that?
Right to the Sun.
Right to the Sun. Dear the Sun.
Why are you so hot?
And my book, What a Flanker's Out. It's a Times bestseller. And I'm launching a new podcast called What a Flanker. And it's nothing to do with rugby. It's me interviewing all sorts of people that I'm really interested in and want to learn from. That's be out very soon. Out next Friday as an episode. I love you all.
No, you don't.
I don't. Love you all. I love some of you.
No, you don't.
I like a little few of you. Bye, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.